has long and tried to make a diving attempt, and Mahomes, who tiptoes inside the 10, still not down. Oh, what a run! Out of this world! Touchdown, Kansas City!
From the second quarter of last week, when they scored 7 straight possessions, to what's happened right here in this game, down 10-0, this quarterback has played at a level you just don't see very often.
Forget Studio 54, King. It's all about Super Bowl 54. It is San Francisco, Kansas City. This is the one I think the punters wanted, isn't it? So the Niners haven't won a title in a quarter of a century. The Chiefs haven't even been there for half a century. It is a fairy tale. Either way you dice it up, I think you can picture it. And I can't wait to see how Airman describes it in his own unique, special way. He's back there again. Can't wait to hear him. Jared Whateley, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sam, Kingy, good morning. Yes, it was a day without the theatrics and the dramatics of what we've seen so far in the playoffs, but it delivered compelling performances and precisely what we wanted. Is these are the two teams, their styles match up. They've got, well, two fascinating quarterbacks. We've got the most electrifying and the most handsome squaring up in it. And I think for a lot of Australia, I suspect the biggest supporter base in Australia certainly knows my age are the 49ers, and yesterday would have been a really interesting day while people worked out, do I have the money? How can I make this happen? And can I get permission to go?
Yeah, well, you have. You've got permission to go, which is great because it's become an annual tradition now. I mean, when do you leave? And I can hear the excitement in your voice. Are you just setting up camp there in South Beach somewhere?
Saturday, we leave. So we get the week leading into it, and we'll start on air on Tuesday. So Tuesday through Friday, and then the game itself on Sunday. And it's been a riveting season. Mm. The Chiefs entered it as the favourites from where we left off last year, their overtime loss in the same game against the Patriots. They've ridden the wave up and down, and people dropped off them. Patrick Mahomes comes good at the end. They're there. There's a lot of legacy involved in them and a fan base who really have never been there, given that it's 50 years. And then the 49ers, who everyone knew the 49ers would improve, but they won their first 8, so you couldn't miss them early. And then they probably played in 3 of the best 4 games of the year, I think. So they roughed up the Packers yesterday in the way that they had already done so. So it wasn't a surprise, and yet it's one of those, you watch a preliminary final and go, oh, wow. That was the impression the 49ers left yesterday.
Don't get off the Chiefs, G. Stick with them.
No.
You're a believer in the running game or the quarterback passing game?
So I'm a believer in the passing game, and Mahomes is the next great quarterback. We knew that last year. He was the MVP. He did everything but beat Brady. I think they coined the phrase. They came up 4 inches short and it went to overtime. Brady got first possession and ran down the field. The Chiefs were gassed by then, but Mahomes was utterly mesmerising in the way that he played his first season as a starter. And there's all sorts of stats and facts in the way you can cut it up. But the Chiefs, they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, and they have been right. In the games that he started, he's 27-8. And he's never been beaten by more than a score, more than 7 points. So his playoff record is, if you've seen any of this, the tiptoe down the sidelines signature. That's a 27-yard rush. But what he does with the ball, he's 4 playoff games for 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. So if you're paying any attention, he is the next all-time great. And he is all-time great right now.
Well, their speed yesterday was the difference. There's no doubt about that. Their speed at wide receiver with Tariq Hill and Hardman, those guys, that was unbelievable. But I've done some research for you, G. When do you arrive in Miami?
Saturday night.
Well, Saturday night's big at the Story nightclub.
A week out.
Yeah, the Treehouse is more your Monday night, industry night. And Baoli, by all reports, is going crazy. So if you're there for a week, G, I want a full nightclub review.
I'm probably not your correspondent for that. But Miami, you never know.
You never know.
Crazy things happen in Miami.
Oh, Jared, as far as Super Bowl, big events and cities, party cities go, I mean, what aside from the game, I mean, what are you going to get there? It's going to be a fair old circus in Florida.
It will be. There's nothing bigger than a Super Bowl. It has the dynamic of going to an Olympics, but there's only one event. As when you get to an Olympics, it's disparate. There's people who've come from everywhere, and there's the volunteer corps, and then everyone sort of splits up. Everyone gravitates to one event, and there's a peculiarity to. I've been to two, so I'm not claiming to have seen it all, but it builds seismically day on day on day to through to the Saturday night. I mean, a whole lot of people leave, like the town, in a way, they evacuate because no one has tickets. There's only 50 to 70,000 tickets, depending on what stadium you're in. And by the Saturday night, there's a million people in the city. So there's get home to see the Super Bowl. So having a neutral venue, having the host city gives you three, there are three parties to it. There's the two teams plus the pride of the host city, and by all accounts, Miami does know how to turn on a Super Bowl.
Gee, if there's one person you'd love to meet while you're over there on the lead up to the Super Bowl, who would it be? I mean, Tony Romo fascinates all of us.
His
impact in just in commentary over the last 18 months. Is there someone that is front of mind for you that you'd like to have met, a former player or a commentator?
I'd like to meet Mike Shanahan, whose son is coaching the Super Bowl team. So Mike coached the Denver Broncos to back-to-back victories, and he was the offensive coordinator for the 49ers the last time that they won the Super Bowl, and he was there handing the NFC Championship trophy over to his son yesterday. So we'll go to press conferences with the coaches and the likes. But Mike's emotions in it. Now, Mike, I've read a few things. Mike watches Kyle Shanahan's training sessions during the week by live remote. So he basically gets them streamed and sits there and watches what his son's doing, how he's coaching, and gets a feel for how the team is going to play. So he's still got a coach's mind, and his son is trying to achieve what he did. So they're trying to create some father-son history. I read a piece yesterday that said only once in their big four, so the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, that a father-son have coached championship-winning teams. So never before in the NFL and only once across their four major sports. I think it would be an extraordinary achievement. And I wonder what Mike's experience would be and what his emotions would be. He knows it. He knows what it is to succeed, and he knows what it is to fail in these moments as well. And his son is doing it. I think the paternal dynamic there I find fascinating.
The Super Bowl's February 3. You can catch it on SEN and Jared's voice on SEN Plus as well. Jared, as a broadcaster, I know you're super forensic with everything, but how do you turn your mind to when you're calling the one game of the year and it's the biggest one, the Super Bowl? How will you tuck yourself away for a period of time over the next week? How do you prepare as a broadcaster to be across everything and the moments of anticipation, the key moments that you might visualise before you get behind the microphone?
Yeah, so it's a bit of it is knowing the stories of the two teams and the magnitude of what's taking place. And that's really, I think the radio broadcast is trying to weave you a story across the 3.5 hours of the game is why it matters and what's at stake. And then essentially just taking you there. It is an incredible atmosphere that builds around these games, as it's true of the AFL Grand Final, it's true of a Super Bowl. And as I said, there's just a magnitude to a Super Bowl. So those two games yesterday are really important. As I'm a fan, I've watched all year. I'm almost obsessed with the way Mahomes plays. And I've got a Jimmy Garoppolo jersey tucked away somewhere in my wardrobe. So I'm a 49ers man from way back. So those two games yesterday are key, and I'll watch those again before I head off. And then, there's about a 36-hour period where it'll be hard to find me in the lead-up to the game.
You'll be the treehouse, Jared. You'll be the treehouse.
That's right, yeah.
That's where Jerry Rice will be, waiting for you.
One of my favourite things is last year, the Patriots, who are obviously they're veterans, they know exactly how to do it. They put out a 500-page stat document during the week, and that was I brought that home. I'll cherish that forever. And the Rams put out about 150-page document. So there's a huge amount of stuff to read and devour. So there's there's the hardcore and there's the technicalities to it. But really, the task to it is and the challenge and the part that I enjoy is just weaving the story. So why does it matter? Why should it matter to you as you listen? And then to savour it. Like last year's Super Bowl had precious few highlights, but the moment where the Patriots fans all decided this was it and they started to chant for Brady and Brady answered that chant and threw to Gronkowski in the moment of history that was, and then they charged through as for not much happening across 3 hours, what was it, about probably a four-minute sequence was spine-tingling to be there. And we were right behind the stronghold of Patriots fans. And, you know, a supporter base that hasn't been there for 50 years and one who hasn't won it for 25 years. It's sort of pretty easy to tap into how manic it'll be from a fan side of things.
Oh, absolutely. And it's amazing you mentioned that as we let you go. JB and St Kilda's texted in off the speckle text. He's weighing up Jared Weather to part with nearly $10,000 to go over. Gold Jacket Hall of Fame tickets with Jerry Rice as his host. So he's weighing that up at the moment.
Yeah.
So it matters, and it matters a lot to a lot of people. And we're fortunate that you're there. We can't wait for the coverage.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is if you are thinking about going, you won't regret it. I bump into a lot of people who say, oh, I really want to go one day. If it is possible and you do harbour that ambition, it absolutely delivers and more. It is a spectacular event. So, yeah, if you are keen and around and you do have the means, I couldn't encourage you more.
Fantastic, Jared. Safe travels, and we'll hear you from the other side.
Terrific. Talk to you there.